silence, that we don't dare speak. There's a wall between us, and a river so deep. We keep pretending that there's nothing wrong. There's a cold of silence, and it can't go on.
Hi, folks. I am Alan Watt, and this is Cutting Through the Matrix on the 10th of April, 2009. There's always newcomers into the show, so I suggest you look into cuttingthroughthematrix.com and download as many of the talks I've given in the past as you can or you wish. But I try to, by using the documentation of those who guide the world, using their own documents, I try and tell you how the world is planned. Management, it's really world management, a very old ideal for some, and we're living at the time when it's all coming together. The biggest shake-up the world has ever experienced for many centuries, in fact, according to those themselves who helped plan it all and wrote about it in their own books. Also look into Alan Watt's sentinel.eu for transcripts of these talks, which you can print up and pass around to your friends. They're written in the various languages of Europe. And you can also, if you wish, look into my website, cuttingthroughthematrix.com, and purchase the books I have for sale there. That keeps me going. That takes me over. Or donate. And for those who get the disc passed around to them, and lots do, and they don't know where to send a donation or order, I give my address, and you send it to Alan Watt, Site 41, Box 4, Estaire, which is E-S-T-A-I-R-E, Estaire, Ontario, Canada. And the postal code is P-3-E-4-N-1. That's P for Peter, 3-E for Elizabeth, 4-N for Nora, 1. And that keeps me going because I don't ask for payment from any of the shows I'm on. And I depend upon your donations or your purchases of the books to keep me going. Now, we are on an incredible roll. Everybody's aware of a shake-up going on. The general public are never truly conscious of anything except what they feel, and they all feel something is underway, not just coming along, but underway. And they do their best, as they've been trained to do, to ignore it. And that's the job of mainstream media. We've been trained for generations to get away from the old ideal that government was there to serve people. But that was always a problem. And so, therefore, we've been trained through generations that, you know, we're here to serve the state. Now it's the world state. That is the state that Plato even envisaged an awful long time ago. When he wrote in his book, The Republic, he was a true fascist on behalf of the elite, the intelligentsia, and the wealthy as to who should rule the world and how they should rule it, even outlining the system of the guardians at the top and their helpers beneath them, and then the masses that would be bred especially for their tasks, just like animals would be selected by those who knew how to select, just like stock or animal husbandry. The same thing that the American Eugenicist Society and the British ones discussed in their own writings, look into the writings of Cold Harbor. Even got the American Cattlemen's Association in on it to help them plan human breeding. And who funded that? Well, initially it was Carnegie, and then it was the Rockefeller Foundation. And it's still on the go with the CFR today. I'm going to be back with more on this after this break.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
I'm Alan Watt. We're cutting through the matrix, talking about this very old plan. This very old plan, and how people have been ushered into a new system. I'm getting voices on the airwaves here. A new system, and we find that people no longer see government as something that's there to serve them. They really have accepted, albeit unconsciously in a sense, they never really reasoned through it, they really are there to manage us all. That's their purpose, like a superior natural group that's just there. You're born into it. They're there already. And that's what they're training us to accept. It's so subtle, at least in its early phases, and now it's on a roll, because they truly do believe that most people accept that they're being managed, and that's the right role of government. I don't mean management just in a few different areas, and finances and so on. It's total management. We're going into a world where, from birth to grave, you'll be monitored, checked, weighed, given countless IQ tests and other tests to find out if you have a good social conscience, what you believe and what you think about other things and other people, that you have no inhibitions in any area whatsoever. You must have a harmonious world, you see, by all means possible. And if you don't have that, they're going to recondition you, basically, fix that for you by various means. I also talked about how money itself is nothing more than a tool of the elite to control the masses. You think about the depressions of bygone days. Everything stopped, not because factories disappeared or labor disappeared or materials disappeared. It was simply that nothing moved because money didn't move. Same thing is happening today. It's very difficult for businesses to get the loans in, even for the freighters that carry the goods across the sea, so that everything's working fine except the money isn't being put out by the banks. And lots of businesses have stopped because of that. Money. It's a tool that we are all trained to believe in as though some natural thing like gravity. Even though very few, and even the economists themselves, when they go off into the strange magic they call science, they really understand it. Or why a few families have somehow gained the right to lend numbers to other countries that then print up banknotes. Who gave them this authority? When was this done? When was this signed into different governments, policies, or laws? But it's here. It's been here for a long time. Over 50 years ago, John Maynard Keynes and others of the Fabian Society and the Royal Institute for International Affairs, Council on Foreign Relations, same thing, decided that they would set up the first plank, the first stage towards a global monetary system to make it easier for these central bankers, these world bankers, to run the central banks more efficiently, make it easier for themselves. Because, see, now we're into the redistribution of wealth, as they called it. That was a communist bank as well. And it means that it's far easier for the central bankers, through their International Monetary Fund organization at the United Nations, to transfer huge amounts of money across to whoever they want across the world, under any guise. It's always to help people. It never really does. But it also makes it easier for them to demand that the countries that are going to be the guarantors, and that's you and I, find easy ways to collect that money, the tax money. So they run the taxation systems as well. That's why it's all being done. See, money is a tool. It's a powerful tool we use for helping or punishing. And they're going to be using it for both. Even this carbon tax nonsense is all part of the punishment phase. You see, we're animals, supposedly, and you can treat them like Pavlov's dogs. You can give them a few pennies here and there when they're being very good and withdraw the money if they're being bad. Social approval, social disapproval for political purposes and political thoughts. The But Maynard Keynes, at the Bretton Woods Agreement, when they set up what was from World War II to the present, the currency system that we've all been running on, said in his own writings, and I've read them on the air from his own book, he said this is only the first half of the plan. The next phase would be international. And he said he himself, he was quite right, and he said we, and I, he says, will not see this happen in our lifetime. Well, he's gone now. And here it is, second part's coming in. This is from the Telegraph. It says the G20 moves the world a step closer to a global currency. This world is a step closer to a global currency backed by a global central bank. See, that's what it was. The Bretton Woods Agreement was to do, set up a world bank with a front organization. The front organization, International Monetary Fund, is a group of guys who represent the bankers and their loans. It's a place to meet for those who are going to be the guarantors. That's your presidents and prime ministers with what you signed down as collateral. You're the guarantors. It's the second part of Bretton Woods. It says running monetary policy for all humanity. And this is from the 7th of April, 2009. It says, in effect, the G20 leaders have activated the IMF's power to create money and begin global quantitative easing. That means inflation. In doing so, they're putting a de facto world currency into play. It's outside the control of any sovereign body. It says conspiracy theorists will love it. It's been a good summit for the IMF. Fighting fund for crisis is to be tripled overnight to $750 billion. Well, upon beyond that, they gave them $1 trillion, I believe. So this is real money. It says Dominique Strauss-Kahn, the managing director, said in February that the world was already in depression. Well, no kidding. It's great to have experts, isn't it? They tell you. It says, and risk a slide into social disorder and military conflict. That's all part of that RAND scenario and the military think tanks, 30 years of strife. It says, unless political leaders resorted to massive stimulus. So there's blackmail as well. If we don't get this cash, this is what's going to happen. It says, he has not won everything he wanted. The spending plan was fudged while Gordon Brown talked of $5 trillion in global stimulus by 2010. This is mostly made up of package already underway. But Mr. Strauss-Kahn at least has resources fit for his own task. He will need them. The IMF is already bailing out Pakistan, Iceland, Latvia, Hungary, Ukraine, Belarus, Serbia, Bosnia, and Romania. This week, Mexico became the first G20 state to ask for help. It has secured a precautionary credit line of $47 billion. Who do you think is funding all this? Remember again, the redistribution of wealth. Did you know, all you listeners out there, that you are the wealthy ones? You didn't know that, did you? Well, now you do. That's what the UN meant by that. Gordon Brown said it took 15 years for the world to grasp the nettle after a great crash in 1929. This time, I think people will agree that it has been different, he said. I'm sure he's smug when he said it too, because it's all planned that way. President Barack Obama was less dramatic. I think we did okay, he said. Bretton Woods in 1944 was a simpler affair. You see, they bring up the same terms I'm bringing up, because they know what it meant. Just Roosevelt and Churchill sitting in a room with a brandy. That's an easy negotiation. But that's not the world we live in. He's missing out Mr. Baruch and others who are also present at the time. There will be $250 billion in trade finance to kickstart shipping after lenders cut back on letters of credit after September's heart attack in the banking system. Global trade volumes fell at an annual rate of 41% from November to January, according to Holland's CPB Institute, the steepest peacetime fall on record. And it says euphoria swept emerging markets. Yet now emerging markets are the countries they've decided to bring up to a certain level, just the same way as they started with China not too long ago. Because the West created China. And through GATT and different treaties off the West with the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank, you know, the negotiations. associations, acting like lawyers and bankers. We financed China, modern China, into being, and to be also the manufacturer for the whole planet. That was to do it to other countries. So euphoria swept the markets, blah, blah, as IMF boost circulated investments. Now know that countries like Mexico can arrange a credit facility able to cope with major shocks and do so on supportive terms rather than the hair-shirt deflation policies of the old IMF. Fear is receding again. Russians had hoped their idea to develop SDRs as a full reserve currency to challenge the dollar would make its way on the agenda, but at least they got a foot in the door. There's now a world currency in waiting, about in a few months, by the way. In time, SDRs are likely to evolve into a parking place for the foreign holdings of central banks led by the People's Bank of China. Beijing moved this week to offer $95 billion in yuan currency swaps to developing economies to show how fast China aims to break dollar dependence. And again, they go on about quantitative easing. It's like a banker who's got gas and he's moving around in his chair a lot. It actually means inflation. But that's really what's going on. It's all a plan because the G20 didn't decide this. The bureaucrats before them did it all. They just signed the papers. Back with more after these messages.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
I am Alan Watts, and this is Cutting Through the Matrix. You know, when the eugenicists talked about people, they went one step further than Plato. I mean, Plato was still thinking of breeding people like farm animals and making a particular height of male with another type for tall people to pick apples, etc., and short people would be bred with short people to get little squat guys that would be strong, good miners and stuff like that. But the eugenic societies talked and actually altering our biochemistry at one point. Julian Huxley, the brother of Aldous Huxley, and I've read his articles on the various books, he also talked about doing this, and he agreed with his brother that they could also drug the public as well. But bioengineering the people to suit the masters, you see, this is the whole idea. Everything that's done in society is to suit the masters, but it's always done under the guise of helping you. And it's interesting to see the effects done through the last 50 years. I've gone through this before about the autism rate shooting up. In the last 10, 15 years, people have suddenly started to become obese. That didn't happen before, not in that scale. And I know people who are experts in obesity. And they all agree that people cannot tolerate or handle the new sugars that are out there, these artificial sweeteners and all the rest of it. They can't handle the oils that are in everything, these altered oils, etc. And the body stores this stuff up as carbohydrates, and it cannot break it down once it's stored up, can't utilize it. It stays there. But we'll never get told the truth, you see, because there's an agenda underway. And it falls in with the drugging of people, the mandatory drugging of people. Remember what Aldous Huxley said? He says, what's wrong with drugging people? To make them happy. What he meant was peaceful and contented. That's what he really meant. Manageable. And we have watched the health services exactly as Lenin said. All the services become authorities. That was the idea of setting them up in the first place. And now it's law all over the place. Your children vaccinated with all these different concoctions, which I'm going to go into later, tell you what's in them. And it's done by lobbyists through the big pharma companies and vaccine manufacturers. As we get altered to suit the system that's coming in. This is from the Telegraph on the 7th of April 2009. It's also in the Wise Up Journal. I'll give links to both at the end of the show. Mass shopping suggested to halt Britain's obesity crisis. Hyperactivity drug could help solve Britain's obesity crisis. Drugs used to treat hyperactive children, such as Ritalin, that's amphetamine, you see. Speed, you see, locked up for taking speed. Now they mandate you take it. Could be used to help solve Britain's obesity crisis, as new research has shown one in three severely obese adults who fail to lose weight have undiagnosed attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. It's amazing how they wrap it all together. I've got tapes here and videos of the psychiatrists when they had their annual meeting to put down new diseases, trying to, the guy at the top of the attention deficit disorder, trying to explain it. He was here for about an hour trying to explain it. He couldn't say it was an actual disorder at all. But that doesn't stop them drugging most of the children who fidget a bit. So doctors behind the latest finding, doctors, experts right away. See, you know, just, all I have to say now is doctors. Behind the latest findings claim a chemical imbalance in the brain, something that they've never proven either. It's one of their theories for all mental illness. Caused by undiagnosed ADHD, prevents severely obese people from having the willpower to lose weight. So willpower, you know, in psychiatry, they tell you so many lies because in psychiatry they will tell you there's no such thing as willpower. There's only the motivation to do or not to do. Motivation is different from willpower. And they claim once a condition has been treated with drugs such as Ritalin, it improved, they claimed, of course, and says their dieting success dramatically. Almost one in four people in Britain are now obese. It's shot up, skyrocketed. But you know, that's when the GM food came in big time too. And all the stuff that you eat now and the processed stuff has got so many things in it, including these altered sugars, these artificial sugars. Official statistics show, and research suggests the figure could rise to one in three by 2012 because of poor diet and sedentary lifestyles. Well, they've taught them all to sit there in front of the computer and watch TV as well. Dr. Lance Levy from the Nutritional Disorders Clinic in Toronto studied 242 severely obese patients who had failed to lose weight in 10 years. Each patient was screened, but for ADHD. It's amazing, eh? You come in with obesity and they screen you for ADHD. Through a series of tests and interviews, results showed 32% had a diagnosis of ADHD. We'd all have that, you know. We'd all have that if we were tested. Because they'll keep lowering the standards. That's like high blood pressure. Blood pressure back in the 60s and for many, many years before it had been 100 plus your age. Over 100. And then, of course, that wasn't very profitable, so they kept dropping it every few years until it's much, much, much lower. So they can flog their pills. Interesting with the pills, too. You get good long-term memory, but no emotions attached to them. It eradicates the memory of events. Back with more after these messages.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Hi, folks. I am Alan Watt, and this is Cutting Through the Matrix, reading an article from the Telegraph. And I keep hearing someone's voice coming in the phone on the line. However, I'll get back to it. And it's also in the Wise Up Journal that now they want to give amphetamines to people who are obese. And you know, eventually down the road, they're going to run us all like this by law. It says here, Levy from the Nutritional Disorders Clinic in Toronto studied 242 severely obese patients who had failed to lose weight in 10 years. Each patient was screened for ADHD through a series of tests and interviews. Results showed 32% had a diagnosis of ADHD. So see, I've listened to the top guy on this, the guy who came up with it. anti-hyperactivity drugs, including Adderall, a type of amphetamine, and a Ritalin-style pill called Concerta, taken once. After treatment, those given the drugs had lost of 12% of their total body weight compared to 2.7% of those not given medication. Volunteers also reported feeling calmer. It says people with ADHD are more likely to develop weight problems than those without it. But obesity itself doesn't cause ADHD. Growing numbers of adults are being diagnosed with effects including low energy levels and impulsive behavior. Everyone's been tinkered with. But they won't look at what's happened in the 50 years since it all started. It's very simple. All inoculations started. All inoculations, mandatory. And then they went and altered our food. GMO. With thousands of foreign beans put into a simple leek or potato. And they won't tell you why. The National Obesity Forum welcomed new therapies, but said it was too early to say all obese patients should be screened ADHD, which means they want us all to be screened for it. Too early yet, but it will come. And from there, I want to go into, I'm going to put this link up at the end of the show as well. It's to do with what's in the vaccines. And it's just for official stuff, but what's in all these vaccines? It's from informed choice. All the stuff from the gelatin, the aborted fetal tissue, this is all from the sources, the companies that make this stuff. Formaldehyde, Thimerosal, which is mercury, and all the other stuff that's in it, that they put into their concoctions, the witch's brew that they then inject into the babies. And they want to do it to us. All through our lives now, they want to update us all the time and give us not just boosters, but more and more and more shots and the boosters all through your lives. And who pushes this? Well, the lobby groups that work for the big pharma. But don't kid yourself as separate from this big world agenda. It's all part of it. It's all part of it. So I'll put this particular informed choice link up as well. And then to go on to they're talking about is not guaranteed to work. and it's not guaranteed, if it does work, to work on more than three of the viruses out of hundreds. It says, ministers want all girls, this is like politicians when they say ministers. It's interesting to use that term, isn't it, in Europe. Ministers want all girls between the age of 12 and 18 to be given the jab over the next 3 years, but the latest figures show only 73% of girls aged 12 and 13 had received the first two of the doses of the vaccine by this January. Among 17 and 18-year-olds, the other group to be targeted so far in the government's campaign, only 22% have had two doses, largely because it's harder to reach girls when they have left school. There was, yeah, it's out of their control then, isn't it? It's all about control. There have also been concerns over possible side effects. There's no possible. We've had the side effects reported already. Dr. Anne Jaruski for Cancer Research UK said widespread immunity can only be guaranteed. What a lie. In its own products, Gardasil tells you that it only maybe work for three of the viruses out of hundreds. The boys between age 12 and 18 are also vaccinated. A program which had cost £600 billion. Boy, I tell you, it's wonderful when you can get your pals in government to just lobby them, you know, take them out for a meal and drop something under the table and get it all passed, eh? Speaking at a women's health conference in London reported in GP magazine, she said it was very likely that boys would be vaccinated sometime down the line. Of course, it's on the list. They probably have the date and time and the year all marked out like everything else is. Dr. Sarusky of the Wolfson Institute of Preventive Medicine said giving both sexes the jab would boost uptake by removing the stigma. So it's political as well. This was especially true among ethnic minorities where there can be pressure not to vaccinate girls against a sexually transmitted infection. Professor John Oxford, a virology expert at St. Bart's Hospital in London, said, with HPV, we should do both sexes and get them early. Ah, what a world, eh? What a world. It's such a joke. And to continue with this article, though, on the 14th of the 12th, 2008, going back a bit on Daily Mail, no sign of a 12-year-old girl paralyzed after being given cervical cancer jab. 12-year-old girl has been left paralyzed from the waist down by a mystery illness that came on half an hour after she was given the new anti-cervical cancer jab, according to reports. Ashley Cave, 12, has been bedbound in Alderhay Children's Hospital since having a cervical cancer jab in October. In America, where a vaccination program using Gardasil, a similar product, began more than a year ago, there have been dozens of and hundreds, actually, of serious adverse events reported in which a link to the jabs is suspected. They included 30 deaths, in addition to cases of Guillain-Barré syndrome, an autoimmune disease that can cause paralysis. Mrs. Cave said it at first they tried to tell us she was imagining it because she was being bullied. It's amazing when you go in with complaints, eh, because these quacks, I'm not kidding you, and that's what they are, the quack. They believe whatever they're told by the companies. They'll say it's in your head, even though you can't even walk. But they'll tell you it's in your head, rather than believe that their wonder drugs are doing this to people. But it's really amazing, as I say, so I'll put this link up as well and let you all have a look at it. And there's been a lot more unfortunate side effects since then, of course. They won't tell the public the whole truth until for about 20 years. That's pretty standard. Same with Valium when it came out. They'd already tested it at the Serum Laboratory in the Middle East, and they knew it was addictive very quickly. So they wrote up masses of propaganda and really financed it into being. Doctors were getting lots of holidays abroad for pushing the stuff. And for 25, 30 years, people in emergencies could see people coming in who were having massive convulsions, trying to get off it. Physically addicted. They kept saying that too. It was all in their head. Physically addicted. And it lays itself down in the long bones. It can take 5 years to get rid of. Amazing drugs, eh? But you see, we are just basically the material, and we can be shaped in any direction. That is the socialist policy, all based on Darwin and Pavlov, the wonderful Pavlov. They can create the new man by using pharmacy and lots of other techniques, now within the genetics too, of course, step by step by step. We never really learn. We've got Z from New York there. Are you there, Z?
Hey, Alan, how are you?
I'm hanging in here. How are you doing?
Oh, not too bad. I mean, you know, as good as you can be.
That's about it, eh?
every day, you know, it just gets weirder and weirder. I mean, I can't believe how strange things are getting. But you're doing a good job, man. Thanks for doing the show.
Yes, yes. All we can do is just say things like they are. And at least all we have, I think, is the fact that there are people out there who haven't been totally lobotomized or totally put under the indoctrination process till they can't think clearly. And maybe they haven't won all of us yet. That's the only thing that's up against them. And I'm sure that really ticks them off, too, you know.
Yeah, they're slowly, though, you know, just I see more and more people kind of just falling down and taking it and starting to believe things. And I mean, people you'd never think about, like they would buy certain things, like they would actually buy certain stories as facts, and then you just have to explain to them and start from the beginning, and then they think you're crazy, and you just got to deal with it kind of in your head, you know?
Yes, you do.
But I wanted to ask you a quick question. Did you know anything about the case? You know, you reported a little bit about that Irish gentleman who made the movie Ripple Effect, 7/7
yeah.
Ripple Effect.
Yeah.
I think he's Irish.
Yeah, well, he's actually from England, but he's living in Ireland, too.
Yeah. Yeah, do you know, I know has he been deported? Do you know anything about that? Because there's really no information that I can find about that.
They did put him in prison in Ireland. I think he's allowed at least one appeal before they pull him off over to Westminster and in England. And then, of course, it's going to be the anti-terrorism court, I think, that's going to try him. So literally had putting out a video. It's amazing, too. See, the Irish judge was, and I read the report, too. The Irish judge was sent lots of videos by people during that case when John was being tried. In other words, they were also doing what John had done.
Yes.
And I don't think anybody's ever been charged for trying to interfere or subvert the course of justice.
Yes.
So maybe that itself can be a precedent that if they got off with it, so was your John.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, I think you'll have some extra work to do tonight because the feed over here in New York, your feed, there's breaks and you can actually hear people breathing in the line. And
that's what I was getting on here, yeah.
So you might actually have some extra work to do, you know.
I know. I'll have to try and edit it out. But yeah, I had a man and a woman talking on the line on and off. Yeah.
Well, you're doing a fine work, and I just wanted to let you know that I'm sending another check soon.
That's appreciated.
You know, I really appreciate what you're doing, and also I wanted to say hi to everybody out there. I know that there are people who are listening who are interested in this kind of stuff, so, you know.
Yes.
I'll let you be. Thanks a lot, Alan.
Thanks for calling. And there's Sean in Indiana. Or was it Idaho, was it?
Yeah, how you doing, Alan?
How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. Long time from calling in, but you know what prompted me was that gal from Vancouver, you know, saying that it's good to have people, you know, on the line and other people that are awake, and
yes,
give a shout in. But you know, you talk Kessler and Ghost in the Machine and the lobotomized public and. You know, it's incredible, like you've said, though, that how they're just seeing this new world order, this next phase coming, and people just continue on with their American Idol or sports or whatever else they're doing and not really paying attention. But kind of one of the things that I've been really pondering the last couple of months after talking to a fellow sentient being in the UK was that he asked me, you know, why am I awake here and now? You know, what is the purpose in, you know, understanding this great agenda, this big agenda that they have and what I'm to do. And I, you know, I still don't have a complete answer. I just know what I have. But, you know, my question for you, I've heard several reports from around the world of governments actually paying these immigrants now to go home.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've come across that and what thoughts are on that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're paying them 10
I don't know that a lot of them are actually leaving voluntary as well because we're going down.
Right.
Yeah. That's another. I've talked to some people who are doing that. They're moving back to their countries because mm-hmm. they see where it's going here. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's sad, isn't it? Isn't it really, really? I mean, immigrants don't want to stay. They want to go back.
Oh, I know. You know, people. You know, Mexican people from the U.S. are leaving because there's no work here.
Yeah.
I mean, literally everyone. I mean, I have several family members that are out of. You know, it's just incredible.
Yes. And they've told us, yesterday they've told us that the impact of this won't hit us for another 18 months.
Yes.
And you can remember when they started off this bailout package of $750 billion or something, they've gone over $1 trillion already. And it's in the trillions now, and they're keeping bailing them out. This is guaranteeing perpetual slavery for maybe 200 generations.
Oh, I totally agree, and yeah, I mean, my grandchildren and their children, mm-hmm. they're all going to be on the hook for this, but...
Yeah. But hang on, and we'll talk about that when this break is over.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
I'm Alan Watts. We're cutting through the matrix. You have Sean from Idaho on the line. You're still there, Sean?
Yeah, I'm still here, Alan.
Yeah, it's tough, as I say, being awake when you watch everyone around you going under. And
yeah.
I don't know if it's always been this way down through the ages. They've always said that it's only about 3% of the public who ever spearhead any great changes or any counter-revolutions to the revolutions, mm-hmm. and that maybe has always been true. But I think even today, there's fewer than that, because I think we've all been so heavily altered. I mean, we know the IQ level has dropped, that's official. The same IQ mm-hmm. test that dropped it to a new standard by using the same test, because everyone's dropped in the last few years. They know what's causing this. Yeah,
I'm sorry.
You know what's causing it, because in any detective story, you just have to say, when did it begin? When did the infertility problem start with males? When did the autism start to skyrocket? When, except what changed? Well, the injections, the inoculations all started at the same time, about the 50s onwards. And then the obesity really banged out quickly when we're all on the GMO food as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't take rocket scientists. They know this at the top, what they're doing. They know exactly what they're doing. But they've also used any and all means to get a drugged, pacified population. It's easier to get through the changes that we're going through. And believe you me, the changes that we're seeing right now are nothing as to what's to come.
No, I definitely recognize that. You know, and it's from my experience, and maybe this is something in my approach with people, but even intelligent people, you know, I was with some family about a month ago, and, you know, they're half, and I said, look, go look at the World Economic Forum and what they, you know, for this coming year, and this stuff is going to happen.
Yeah.
Check out the BCDC report and look at the riots already starting that are forecasted, you know, to start big time in 2010. Go look at this stuff, and this stuff is coming along.
Yeah.
And, you know, they'll go look at it and read it. You know, for example, you know, my brother, I sent him to watch Norman Dodd and his interview with G. Edward Griffin there on the foundations.
Yeah.
And I still haven't even got a comment back from him on it. It's like he thinks it's like a fantasy, just make-believe, you know. But, and another thing, I was talking to my brother, he's a big carbon credit, greeny guy, and, you know, when we were having a big conversation about it, and he said, you know, I do follow the Malthusian theory. I said, what? Do you know who this guy was? Do you know what he did? Do you know where he comes from?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, no. And I filled him in on, you know, the economist for the British East India Company. And, you know, so these greenies, they don't even know who they're following.
They don't. They're like the hypnotized children following the Pied Piper. And they can't think for themselves. They can only repeat their downloads. And and they believe in it. They question nothing about their download.
Yeah. Hey, before I forget, I wanted to say, you know, thank you for the energy that you put into this, you know, because I know that when I come across somebody that's you know, half, you know, starting to wake up, that you know, has open ears and they want to hear and they want to listen, and I start laying this agenda out and how big and how all-encompassing it is. It takes a lot of energy, so I appreciate the energy that you put into this.
Well, it does take it out of you, but we've got to keep trying. That's all we can do. But thanks for calling in. And for Hamish Marcel from Ontario, Canada, it's good night to me. Your God or your gods go with you.
Thank you.